spring that turned from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money.
Yeah, here's to the farmers. It's Saskatchewan Open Farm Days this weekend. Your chance to tour a farm. And you can look at the list of farms available to go have a look at skopenfarms.ca. Seven Meadows Farm is one of about 40 farms participating this weekend across the province. So not just close to Regina, but everywhere you're going to find somewhere to visit. They're all trying to connect you and the producers. In other words, learn how it winds up on your plate. And I want to head over to visit right now Seven Meadows Farm, as Ward Hepting is standing by on the phone to tell us all about his shop near Regina Beach. Ward, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. I appreciate being a part of this.
You've lived your life on the farm, but left ag a few years back, and now you've become a grower using hydroponics and a high wire system.
Yeah, that's correct. We have a commercial greenhouse here, which we grow a variety of tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers, and we use hydroponics with grow bags and cut coconut husks. The tomato plants will grow up to 60, 70 feet in length during the course of the season.
Wow.
Really, technology that's been developed in other parts of the world, both in Holland and in Israel, they've really kind of pioneered a lot of this work. We've learned from, there's a gentleman here who's kind of helped that to get us going. He's now retired, but he was really instrumental in getting the greenhouse industry started in Saskatchewan. His name is Tom Wright. He was up in the Melfort area. He connected us to this greenhouse that had been operating in Birchill, Saskatchewan for over 25 years. We ended up going up and buying that greenhouse, dismantled it, brought it down to Regina Beach, rebuilt it here, and built a facility in front of that. So we make homemade pasta sauces and cucumber salsa, which is kind of unique to Seven Meadows. We also make relish, but all the products that we grow in the greenhouse, we also bring into the kitchen, and magically they appear in a jar.
It all sounds pretty delicious. So how different is it from your background in ag, of course, on the fields, to hydroponics? What's that experience like for you?
You know, so the field, you're subject to all kinds of things that you have no control of. In the greenhouse, you have to be very attentive to what's going on. We are chemical free, so we use biologicals to control any pests that might come in. So we introduce other kinds of, like, say, a wasp or ladybugs or different things like that to control any predators that might come into the facility. So as soon as the plants start to grow, we bring in seven different insects that we've introduced in there to be able to protect that environment. It's very different compared to what you'd have in an open field.
It's remarkable, the process you're going through there. Ward Hepting is my guest from Seven Meadows Greenhouse. I know Tourism Saskatchewan is a part of this. Sask Open Farm Days are here, and your chance to tour local farms. How important is it for you to spread the word of what it is you're doing there and help explain how food leaves the farm gate and gets to our plates?
I think Saskatchewan Tourism has done a fantastic job of being able to connect the community of Saskatchewan to allow people to come out and experience all the different manners in which food is grown. Just to make that awareness creates a quite much more of an intimate experience for everybody in relation to the value that farms bring to Saskatchewan and to Canada. To see the diversity of what exists in Saskatchewan and the different ways that people are growing food, connecting to the community, I think that for us, when people come out here, they always marvel. They see these plants that are 50, 60 feet long that are growing to the roof, literally weighted down with all kinds of produce on them. And the whole idea of the open farm days that allows the community to come together to see how their food is growing, I think it's just a really wonderful event that Tourism Saskatchewan has put on.
You know, we've had some hazy days. It hasn't been consistently hot. It's been kind of rainy and cool, and nothing's been really consistent in our growing season. And some farms are pretty darn healthy. Others are kind of at the point now where their crop's sweating a little as they look out at their fields. What's it like for you?
There is things that can happen. We had a situation with our hydroponic system here a few weeks back that caused us to put in about 3 days of super intensive work. And unfortunately, well, it cost us a significant amount in production. We were not able to keep up with the supply. So things can go bad no matter what when you're involved in business, when you're involved in agriculture. But yeah, things still happen here, and you have to be, every day you have to be in your greenhouse and really paying attention to what's going on.
How can you get to a farm this weekend and tour?
So Open Farm Days has a website, and you can see all the farms that are going to be host farms for Open Farm Days. Last year was the inaugural event. It was a fantastic event. The attendance was great. Bus tours came out here. So if you go on the website, you can see a list of all the various farms that are hosting. For us, we are 4 kilometers straight south of Regina Beach, so super easy to get to, just a little over 30 minutes from the outskirts of Regina.
Well, I hope you're just as busy again this year, my friend. Thank you, Ward. Ward Hepting from Seven Meadows Farm. He's one of many farms you can find. Here's the website one more time if you want to go this weekend and check it out. skopenfarmdays.ca. Pretty heartbreaking news for Kelly Clarkson, who's singing there, and her family. Now we know why she abruptly took time away from her Vegas shows just earlier in the week. And her ex-husband, Brandon Blackstock, had been privately battling cancer. He died yesterday at the age of 48. Now, they had children together, and though they were, of course, divorced, Kelly had postponed her Vegas residency, she had said a few days ago, to be with her kids. And then came the announcement that he passed away. Stepson to Reba McEntire as well, Brandon Blackstock. CJME News time now is 7:54, and it is a short work week coming to a close here. Looks as if yesterday I said, you know, just as I am today, 60% chance of showers or thunderstorm, and then it just turned sunny and it got hot, 27 degrees. So I did lose the CJME weather guarantee for Windsor Plywood and Dahar Hair Restoration. I had a $50 jackpot. Ryan Flamin of Regina, I'm going to cut you that check because I was up by more than 3 degrees. And my point is, here we are saying it again today. And now you look at the sky, it's getting a little grayer, so maybe it's going to stick. But we didn't get any rain late yesterday afternoon nor last night. But this morning, so far nothing. But it is in the long-range forecast. I'm hoping that this moisture they're talking about north of us gets to LaRange, Meadow Lake, Melford, Nipawin, North Battleford, and PA. They could see up to, you know, 2 or 3 inches of rain. Not all those communities necessarily need it, but the further north that rain gets, the better it would be, right? Some of those communities have had one of their driest Julys on record, so maybe rain coming there where it's needed. End of a short work week. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, now, whether it be raining or not, they're hoping it's not raining. In front of the ledge later tonight and through tomorrow, they're calling it the Regina Foodie Land. There's going to be a lot of food trucks and local restaurants that are setting up camp there, and community organizers and events are putting together this big food land, live music, beer gardens, bouncy houses for the kids. There's going to be a car show, too. So it starts at 5. It's free to get in, but, of course, there's a cost to the food. 5 till 10 tonight, Saturday. It goes from noon till 10. Heads up, I got to get gas. If that's you today, lottery. Lotto max is $60 million. That is how I am planning my retirement. And now I'm giving extra thought to maybe playing VLTs too, because there's a couple of big jackpots won up in northern Saskatchewan here, a couple of small towns. One lady at Poundmaker Cree Nation hit Sega's Smoke Signals jackpot. I guess that was at the casino there in North Battleford. $1.4 million. Another lady won $1.2 million on a VLT in Shell Lake. Congratulations. That's sweet. If you are a parent, you probably want to get your kids into swimming lessons, right? Well, look, the City Fall Leisure Guide is out right now. It's online. Maybe tomorrow morning or Sunday morning with your morning coffee, you got your laptop or your phone out, and you think, okay, I'm going to look through and favorite all the swimming lessons and the fall activities the city has to offer. In your account, sign in and get your own account established. That's the best way. Favorite what you want, and then come Tuesday next week, registration for those very, very popular swimming lessons in the fall are 7 a.m. next Tuesday morning. So if you want to do a little pre-prep and see what other programs there are and get ready, you can check in on that. City Fall Leisure Guide is online now. I've been reflecting a lot on our musical choices this morning. Earlier this morning, my producer Frank chose April Wine. Rock and Roll is a Vicious Game. That is one of the April Wine songs that I have to admit. I think it's one of those songs that it doesn't get enough attention in their repertoire. That is an awesome song. And now Prism, Armageddon. That's, to me, the best Prism song ever. Of all the Prism songs, that's the best one. Am I wrong? I got a resident movie critic named Brett Buster. I don't know if you know. Were you around when Prism came out with that album?
No, but I have seen them in concert.
And? Do you like that song?
I do. Armageddon okay. Rocks.
All right, good. Stick around, Brett. We're going to talk movies. In fact, this weekend, here's one catching the attention in my household and millennials especially. Freakier Friday. Jamie Lee Curtis, Lindsay Lohan together again.
Change the hearts you know are wrong. To reach the place where you belong.
Oh my God, what is happening?
Okay,
who am I?
It's me, it's Mom. If you're me and I'm you, then who is that?
I'm Grandma, sweetheart.
This is the follow-up to the 2003 Freaky Friday movie, which I actually thought was hilarious. And Rolling Stone has said this one 22 years later. It's actually pretty great. Calls it a nostalgic romp for millennials. But if you want to look for a few chills, maybe a scare or two, then there's this movie called Weapons this weekend.
At 2:17 in the morning, every kid woke up, got out of bed, walked downstairs, and into the dark, and they never came back.
I don't understand at all. Why just her classroom? Why only her?
Children.
Where are the children? That is a killer hook to pique your interest, right? Is that Josh Brolin in there too?
Yep. He's actually one of the producers on the movie too.
Okay. Well, it's described as expertly crafted, terrifying mystery, but is it in the eyes of Brett Buster?
I thought it was really great. I wouldn't say terrifying, but definitely a slow burn horror mystery that holds your attention. And everyone in the room is just wondering what is going on. And they need to know the answer to this great hook.
Yeah. So there are numerous cliffhangers, and I heard someone describe it as pretty hilarious, too. Did you find that?
There is some comedy. This is from the same director as Barbarian, Zach Cregger, and Barbarian.
I do not know what Barbarian is. What's that?
Oh, it came out a couple years ago. It's about an Airbnb that two people end up in, and then there's some mysteries in the basement. But it also had a comedic spin when Justin Long
enters
the film. Wait a
minute. That sounds interesting. Was that a good movie?
I loved Barbarian. It's one of my favorite
movies. Is it on Netflix? Streaming on Netflix?
Disney Plus, actually.
Good to know. Okay.
So this is his follow-up to that. And there is a comedic through line here. A lot of laughter. But it is mostly the unsettling, creepy stuff that you're there for. And I thought it really delivered. And what's really cool about the story structure is that it's told in chapters. So you'll start out with Julia Garner from Ozark as our lead character. And then eventually you go back to see the same events or the same day from a different character in the town's perspective. So it's kind of like Magnolia if you ever saw that. So I really like that because it just builds the mystery. You get little breadcrumbs as it goes. I would say the journey is maybe a little bit more fulfilling than the ultimate destination just because it was like, well, it's probably this or this. And then it ended up being this. So, but
by the end of it, you are getting an answer.
I don't want to wonder.
Well, are they trying to make it feel like, you know, it should have been this or that? And you're left questioning.
No, you get the questions at the end. You get the answers. I would say it's pretty satisfying, but I would say the third act is probably my least favorite part of the movie. However, really enjoyed it. The crowd was loving it. It was a full house last night, and I'd give it like a strong 8 out of 10. It's
okay.
Great.
Well, look, here I was wanting to see Naked Gun. This weekend. I badly want to see Naked Gun.
I think you'll like Naked Gun more than you'd like
it. And it's short. It's 90 minutes or less, you said. Is this one a long one?
This one's like 210, and I will say I felt the length in the ending. Okay. I was like, this could have been 2 hours flat. But Weapons is solid.
Okay, good to hear. Happy Friday. The weekend is here. Might be a little soggy to start, but by Sunday, it'll be drying up if everything goes to plan and we could be barbecuing and enjoying a lot of sunshine and heat next week. It looks like it's going to get really warm. I have been, between Mother Nature and my watering, I think I've been consistently watering my tomato plants. I'm not a big green thumb. I'm not a heavy gardener by no means, but I thought, okay, consistently watering. But my leaves are still yellow. I don't understand what's going wrong here. So I thought I'd call in our resident expert, of course, Garden Talk host, Rick Van Dyvendijk, to maybe help me out here this morning. Good morning, Rick. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Greg. How are you making out?
Well, I'm a little bummed out because, you know, I take your advice, consistent watering, yet I don't understand why my tomato plants kind of look yellowish.
Yeah, well, there's two things with that. Your consistent watering is the most important. Not wet, dry, not wet, dry, wet, dry, or not too dry all the time, but also nutrients right now. People forgetting about, you know, they've been consistent watering. You also got to add the nutrients. So a lot of the yellow leaves we're seeing, and I'm getting a lot of calls about that as well, but they're even the shrubs and the trees and the rose plants and everything else, is that even the petunias, they're seeing the yellow streaks in between the veins, and that's because it's lack of iron and so lack of nutrients. So making sure, especially the annual plants, making sure that like tomatoes and all your plants and your planters and that kind of stuff, make sure that you're at least once a week, you're giving them some fertilizer.
So it's not too late if I started that a little more frequently.
No, absolutely. And with vegetables, you want to use a low nitrogen, but a lot of the micronutrients, like your phosphorus, your potassium, all your zinc and iron. But iron is the big one, especially for tomatoes. And calcium is another big one. But iron for those plants, you want to make sure you get that. And even your shrubs and trees, if they have that yellow look into the leaves, and then you want to give them some iron. But iron also, if they're lacking iron, sometimes that means they just can't get the nutrients. So that means you need to check the pH of the soil and making sure the pH is around 7, so it's neutral. But if it's high, if it's over about 7.4 or higher, or if it's 6.5 or lower, that means the soil locks up the nutrients and they can't get the nutrients. So you got a high pH, you want to use something like aluminum sulfate. If you got a low pH, you want to use lime. So there's ways you can help, and you can check out with any of the garden centers. They can usually help you out with that kind of thing, too.
Oh, Rick Van Dyvendyke, host of Garden Talk. I do love you, but I could never live with you. There's just so many things you want me to do. Hey, you wanted to tell everyone about pruning maple and birches. What is it? Is it a good time?
Yeah, people always ask me in the spring, because that's usually the time people prune, or for the fall, can they prune my birches and maples? And the answer is always no. You want to prune your maples in August, September. That's when you want to prune, so they don't bleed like crazy in the spring. Even pine trees is a great time to prune those pine trees, and so they don't bleed in the spring as well. So if you're going to do some pruning on those big trees, especially some bigger branches, make sure the maples and birches, now's the time to do it.
Okay. Well, look, you've given us a lot of advice here, and, you know, we're rolled into the first week of August, almost over with it. What do you see in August here? What are we going to start thinking about in the next few weeks?
Well, the biggest thing is that people are starting to think about even harvesting their garden, that kind of stuff. So making sure that you're trying to grow a big pumpkin or something like that, you want to pull the flowers off, you know, so that you're not creating more pumpkins. You're putting the energy into those big, giant pumpkins you want. And or if you want to go out there and steal a potato, you don't have to dig the whole potato plant out. You can actually dig around and actually steal fresh garden potatoes, nothing better than nuts. So, and cucumbers and squash and those kind of things, if you got enough production happening, then you can do some pruning and pulling off flowers so that you're just putting energy into the one fruit that you have. But those are the kind of things in the garden, just making sure that you're watering, like we talked about before, watering consistently and even adding some nutrients, and then you can have a great harvest in August and September.
Yeah, I've seen some of my farming friends with large gardens already, you know, putting the beet jars up on the shelf. It is that time of the year, isn't it? Hey, Rick,
yeah.
I know you're on 2 hours this weekend. We'll catch you on Sunday morning at 9, okay?
Thanks. Have a great weekend.